Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy. Sorry.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week three of Quad Pro Quo Sequels Month. Thank you to Brett Parker at Dissect That Film for the theme month suggestion. But before we get to Tammy's pick, Tammy, you sent me a text yesterday with a business idea.
Yes. Yes. I sent you a Facebook Marketplace ad for a school bus painted black.
Yes.
For $3,500.
Yes.
And a hope and dream to start a smut bus.
A smut bus.
A smut bus?
A smut bus business.
A traveling bookstore, potentially a little bit of a coffee kind of thing going on. And, you know, we only sell the romance genre. And we, you know, travel around to different, like, fairs and, you know, stuff like that. And people can come in and shop.
Like Wilmington Flower Market.
For the smut.
Nothing makes me wet like a festival.
And you're an integral part because you have a CDL.
No, I don't.
I mean, it expired, but you could get it again.
I'm not getting a CDL.
You could easily get that again.
Oh, no. So you absolutely
could. No. Do you know how difficult it is to get a CDL Class B?
No.
It's worse than a Class A, especially if you're going to be driving a bus.
Oh.
It's not a real school bus.
Doesn't matter. They see school
But we could give you like a fun name. You could literally be the smut peddler because you are the driver.
The smut peddler.
But Guido, you said you had ideas for the name of our bus. Because there are a few of these already in the country. I sent you one in Charlotte.
I think my dad still has his CDL. What's that one called? You can get him to drive around.
It's not like not like a smutty name. I personally think you should advertise the smut, but theirs was something like I can remember.
The trope.
Okay. Yeah, trope bus or something like that.
How about horny
yeah.
on Main Street?
Love.
I am partial to Squeals on Wheels.
Squeals on Wheels.
I love that.
That's
There's
cute.
The Climax Carriage.
The Climax Carriage.
But, you know, we can go with the Cultured Pearl.
What about just the Bussy?
The Cultured Pearl.
For Gen Z and Gen Alpha, just the Bussy.
The Cultured Pearl, I think, is already taken by something. I've heard.
It's a restaurant.
Okay.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Pros and Hoes.
Pros and Hoes. I like that.
Clitorati.
No.
That's a little much.
How about Good Breeds?
Too forward.
Good Breeds.
Clitorature.
Clitorature, yes.
The Pound Hound.
Okay.
We put the fundus in this fun bus.
Oh, God.
The Yikes. Bus that fucked.
The Gilded Coin Purse.
Oh.
Bustling Biddies.
Ew.
The Sloppy Jalopy.
Ew.
What does he call it? The Sea Cucumber.
Ew.
Put your manicotti in my salami.
My cannelloni.
My cannelloni.
I think I said, what did I say? Because I was like, if we have coffee, I think we should just call it Hot and Strong or something like that.
Yeah.
Flicker Bean Bus.
Flicker Bean
Bus. Bean, Flicker Bean.
How about
bus.
Almost There?
Almost There. I'm close. Don't stop.
Yep.
We could have like a sign that says, this bus doesn't stop.
That's what I'm talking about. Almost there.
Almost there.
Oh, man. Oh.
Almost there, bus business.
That's just going to open up a whole can of worms for bad stuff.
No.
What do you mean?
Like, people are going to end up, like, playing sex games for, like, for points. And people are going to be taken advantage of. And then somebody's going to go on some shitty telekinetic rage to kill everyone.
Oh, well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, you got to have a sexual hit list.
Speaking of a sexual hit list, Tammy, what's your pick for Quad Pro Quo Sequels Month?
Yes. So I loved the episode that we did way back when, I think it was 1 October. Is that correct?
Yeah, Stephen King month.
It was Stephen King month.
Yes,
yeah.
We did Stephen King month, and I chose Carrie. Everybody passed it.
Yes.
Because that was a good movie.
So this time, I chose The Rage, Carrie 2.
You've heard of Carrie White, haven't you? She's your sister.
20 years ago, a girl named Carrie...
73 people died night of the prom.
...sent the student body to its grave.
What are you saying I have? Telekinesis.
On March 12th...
Dude, it's her doing it!
...terror... ...runs in the family.
No!
The Rage, Carrie 2, rated R.
We missed another killer party.
It was directed by Kat Shea and Robert Mandel. The writers were Raphael Moreau and Stephen King, and it came out in 1999. So, had you seen it? What did you think when I picked it? Guido.
Look, I remember days of my youth, I would fast forward through this movie looking for tits. Didn't find any.
God, you and the tits.
Very
yeah.
upset.
Well, it came out in 99, so he was still a young
bullshit. You'd had some some nice violence. Man. But I remember enjoying watching Brad's dick get shot in the pool, but I didn't really, it wasn't my favorite movie.
Okay, but so you saw it though?
I've seen it, yeah, of course.
Okay, Matt.
Unfortunately, I had also seen this movie. I wasn't like him though, it was just a, I'm bored, and there's a movie on TBS. Wait, they made a sequel to Carrie? What the fuck is that about?
The exact same premise.
They made a sequel to Carrie? The fuck? And then, you know, my thoughts about you picking it, I'm like, you literally had grumpier old men. You could have just done that. We could have just had more Burgess Meredith bloopers, but...
Yeah.
Allie, have you seen it?
Yeah, I had seen it. I think I used to watch it a lot on TV. I think it was, like, on TNT a lot, I feel like.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, when Joe Bob Briggs had like his little show on TNT.
Oh, okay. And I for some reason like was, I liked this girl. I don't know why.
Because she was on Gilmore Girls. She's a goth.
But I didn't watch Gilmore Girls when it was like on its, I didn't watch it till later. She was on Gilmore Girls, but I didn't watch it then. So I don't think it was because of that. I don't remember why.
You were watching it for Zachary Ty Bryan because you were a big Home Improvement fan.
No. If anything, I would have been JTT because I was always diehard JTT.
Why does her hair always look wet?
Lots of gel.
Gel.
All right. Well, we've all seen it. So let's
let's flush continue. This
turd. Continue.
Okay. So the opening,
so excited.
scene of this movie, it starts out in a house with little Rachel. Rachel is the main character, and she's played by Emily Burgle, who's actually a British actress.
Really?
Really.
Couldn't tell, so that's nice.
She dropped the English accent because she moved to Illinois.
She could just drop it.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh, I thought it was like, it would have been so much more interesting if
she just randomly had a British accent.
If Carrie's sister had a British accent. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Oh my God. Pip, pip, you die now.
Pip, pip, hooray!
Maybe that's why her performance is so...
So restrained?
Wooden.
It's so flat.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think so either.
Well, to quote my tit aficionado friend over here, her acting's about as flat as a chest, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
Eh?
So she's a little girl in this scene, so I wouldn't expect her to have breasts.
Well, I was talking about the grown-up one in the whole movie.
Oh. Yeah.
So little girl and her little dog, Walter the Bloodhound, adorbs.
Best part of the movie.
Very young dog here.
It's my dad's name.
We see all these like religious figurines and... And a woman's voice who's praying. And we see a paintbrush with red paint going across walls, curtains.
That's not
blood? No. No, it's paint.
Oh, see, I was taught that that was blood. I'm sorry.
And it turns out the mom, we find out later, that she was actually the set design and production manager of the Lone Wolf and Cub series.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same blood.
She made all
same
the blood.
Blood.
It's
milk and, you know, food, not coloring.
That's not wrong. So this one woman ends up being J. Smith Cameron's character, Barbara Lang, who she plays in Succession.
Jerry.
That's probably her bigger role as of recently.
She's been around so long.
Yeah, she has. And she was in Vengeance also.
She's been on Law and Order SVU. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the characters in this movie have.
Emily Burgle has also been on Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Sue Snell has also
Sue
been
Snell.
On.
Yes, that's an early episode of Law and Order SVU.
I think the Mark... what is his name?
Who's Zachary Ty Bryan from Home Improvement?
No, not that guy.
That's
Dylan Bruno, who plays Mark, the dick jock.
They're all dick jocks.
They are, but the main
the
dick jock.
Captain.
The guy from Where the Heart Is.
Yes!
Yes!
It took me forever to figure it out.
I was calling him Bobo Kevin
it's
Dillon.
It's America's daddy.
The guy from Entourage?
He's not from Entourage. He called him Bobo Kevin Dillon because he does kind of look like Kevin Dillon, but like Jack, like a sweaty, steroided out Kevin Dillon.
Yeah, like
his eyes are really close together.
No, he's Natalie Portman's like baby daddy in Where the Heart Is.
America's Nations.
Willie J. Pickens. That's who he plays.
How many points did he get with her?
With Natalie Portman?
Oh, yeah.
Probably quite a bit.
Probably 30 points.
Yeah.
He's also in Taken 3, in case you...
Is he Taken?
I remember Taken 3.
Shame.
Nobody remembers
Nobody
Taken
does.
3.
My parents probably do if I called them.
There was, Zachary Ty Bryan plays another football player. He plays Eric.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the names mixed up.
Mark is the captain, and he's the dick jock.
What's Randall Pink's name?
He's Arnie.
No, that's not his name.
Well, because I mean...
Randall Pink.
Randall Pink's the main guy. guy. He was in Dazed and Confused.
Oh. His name is Jesse Ryan.
Jesse Ryan.
The lead male.
We like Jesse Ryan. Love interest
of Rachel's.
The male liked him better.
He is a twin. Did you know that?
Yes.
His brother's name is Jeremy Landon. He's also never been in any good movies either.
That's not true.
Oh, please.
Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, that's this guy, Jason Landon. No, that's this guy.
Jeremy London was in Mallrats.
Yeah.
Mallrats is a great movie.
That's Jason great movie. London was in this movie. And
this is not a
okay,
great
that's
movie.
That's one movie he's been in. That's what
that's that's good. A good one.
Jeremy London was on Seventh Heaven for a while too.
He was I think like Mary's boyfriend.
Mary's boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, that's was probably Mary where the, I recognized him.
Jessica Biel.
Eddie K. Thomas plays Arnie, who's a fellow outcast.
Oh, Stiff.
He's from American Pie and Harold and Kumar.
His friend is Stifler.
Not Stifler.
It's the friend of Stifler.
Well, no, yeah. He's the one who bangs Stifler's mom. Yeah. He's the one who can't take a shit in a public bathroom.
It's not that I can't. Said I won't.
And then Harold and Kumar, he's the two Jewish friends who just always make Jewish references.
Yeah.
They're like, we got to go to the hospital. You should go to Beth Israel. Okay. Ridiculous. This is getting ridiculous.
Couldn't make that movie today.
Oh, it's so funny.
All right, let's just round out the main characters lists while we're here. Okay. So we've got Monica.
Bitch.
And that is Rachel Blanchard, who plays in Clueless and Road Trip.
The show Clueless.
Oh, okay.
The television show.
And then Tracy is played by Charlotte Ayana.
Oh, Tracy's the bigger bitch.
She's the main cheerleader who's Jesse Ryan's girlfriend. I liked her.
Fuck ass Bob.
And she's in Training Days and Jawbreaker.
Oh, she is. She's the dead body in Jawbreaker.
Yes.
That's
right.
That's what I was trying to figure. I was like, I know this
bitch.
She was
really good as a dead person.
I don't even think she has lines.
She plays a dead person so well.
And then Mina Suvari plays Rachel's BFF Lisa. American Beauty, American Pie, American Porno.
She just loves American movies.
I'm really surprised that forehead didn't put more of a dent in that.
All right.
I think she's so pretty. She's so petite.
She's the one in the window.
She's the one that jumps off the roof.
The BFF with the matching tattoos. So yeah, so we start off at little baby Rachel's house. Her mom is being just trying to ward her of her evil telekinesis by chanting religious prayers and marking the walls, trying to keep the devil out of the house. I don't know how the cops end up getting called. Maybe Rachel calls. It's hard to say, but the cops show up in the rain. Rachel is talking with the policeman, not on the front porch, in the rain, as Guido commented while we were watching.
Yeah, the cop goes, we're gonna take you somewhere safe. It's like, how about inside, motherfucker? Why are you standing out in the rain? The child is cold. Dumb ass.
Yeah. The mom, they're loading her into the back of the ambulance on a gurney. She's screaming bloody murder. Rachel gets to watch her as she drives away in the ambulance and is locked away for the rest of Rachel's life in an insane asylum.
Wah wah.
So Rachel spends the rest of her life in and out of foster homes and in the foster care system until present day.
Still has that dog.
Still has the dog. Still has telekinesis.
Have any of you seen a movie where character has really nice foster parents?
Angels in the Outfield. Booyah!
Ooh,
I hate that fucking
Free
movie.
Free Willy. Free Willy.
Yeah, Michael Madsen and what's her name? They were good. They were.
Plus, he gets to live in that awesome house in Free Willy. That house was amazing.
Okay. He had a beautiful view, and he got to play with dolls with whales.
Stuart Little counts. I mean, there were a bunch of kids in an orphanage, but yeah, just pick the fucking mouse. That makes sense.
He doesn't eat as much.
And they get $300 a month.
Would HI and what's her name count as good foster parents? I mean, granted, they kidnapped a kid, but they took care of him.
Who?
From Raising Arizona.
Yeah, sure.
Those parents cared.
They cared.
And dad's a truck driver, so he's there a lot, surprisingly.
He's got a sweet jacket. See that satin jacket he's wearing? Badass.
Yeah.
He's mean.
Pa and Ma Kent. They were good foster parents.
You think?
They're not really foster parents. They adopted him. They found him in a rock in their cornfield.
Well, they inadvertently adopted him and took him on as their own.
So. Okay.
Well, these foster parents let her keep her dog, which was nice, and everyone else.
But he's not allowed in the house.
Not allowed in the house at nighttime.
Which, that's so awful.
Doesn't really make much sense to me.
Well, they probably...
You can come in during the day.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They probably think that at night she'll get a jar of peanut butter with
No one thinks maybe, that but you.
Maybe because they're home at night.
Dude, you're on a list somewhere.
Bro. You're disgusting. You're so
sorry, with porn your, bus.
With your
we're not gonna sell books on bestiality. You had to take it to that level.
Well, that'll be in the back where the bad kids
sit. The banned books area.
The blacklisted.
Listen,
books.
If I gotta go through a bead curtain to see your zoophilia, throw the whole my fucking bus.
Don't yuck their yum.
No, yuck that yum.
No, we yucking that yum. That yum be yucked.
I mean, I told Julia about like the weird side of the romance genre where there is like furries. Books written about people who have relationships with like inanimate objects.
Like and the it corners of a desk?
No, there's one very famous. What? There's one very famous one where a girl falls in love with a door.
Oh, you told me about that one.
And I think she fucks like the doorknob in it. And then there's another one where she falls in love with a spoon. But objects are usually like they have like the soul of the person in them.
Oh, okay. So is that what
I a think spoon?
So. still unhealthy. But
why
aren't
these softer objects?
Was that the vice president's defense when he fucked that couch?
Oh, I mean, my God. There's like funny images floating around the internet of things that people have stuck up their ass.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
light bulbs.
These things should never be in your ass.
Corkscrews.
Yeah.
It's called Unhinged.
Snapple bottles.
That's the one about the door. It's called Unhinged. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like there's one about a spoon. It's called Spooned. A lighthearted utensil romance.
What the fuck?
Fuck off.
What if that spoon had a voice? What would it say?
When a World War II super soldier trapped in cutlery discovers he could transform back into a man by being intimate with a woman, he seeks to free the rest of his... What?
Fucking how?
So this is like... If Captain America instead of being frozen in ice, he was trapped as a spoon.
It's book 2 of 4. Oh man, I wonder what fork.
Forked.
It's spoon, forked, knife.
Spooned, knifed,
dessert spoon,
served, service,
fork for knife and knife.
Service.
That must be like a reverse harem where like she has sex with all three of them
with a spoon and a fork and a knife.
You turn it around. You use the soft side.
Well, but I guess by the fourth one, they've
There's
all...
There's no soft side.
By the fourth
Everybody's
one, they've,
fucking
all,
with that dinette
they've
set.
All turned into humans, and now she's just, you know...
They have very good reviews on Goodreads and Amazon.
Jesus. All right. Oh, well, sorry. That'll be, like, the third book we purchase for our bus.
We could have a special section, and we could just call it, like, object play or something. I don't know.
Make sure you include...
Fantasy. We'll just have a fantasy section.
We will, and we'll call it the bunk bed section.
I want the stuck shelf.
Step
just,
bro.
Yeah, you call it the stuck shelf. Yeah. Stuck
oh,
section.
My gosh.
Okay, so Rachel gets on the school bus.
Is she stuck?
She is not stuck because her best friend, her BFF Lisa, played by Mina Suvari, gets on the bus, and she's all a Twitter because she just lost her V card.
She is
that night before.
Do I look any different? No, you yeah. don't.
We're like, it's well, still in your hair.
We're like, you smell a little.
And
different.
She won't tell Rachel who it is. She's like, you'll find out later today. And then she goes.
He did finish on my lower back though.
She
oh
goes
my God.
Like,
I was stuck.
Gimme, can you develop this film?
Ooh, film.
And
dated.
Rachel's like,
you
yeah,
see,
sure,
kids,
whatever.
Back in the day, the pictures on your phone used to have to be developed at a special store.
Yeah.
In this movie, it's like a little hut in a.
It's like a drive-through yeah. drop-off. Yep. So yeah, so the football players talk about Lisa in another scene. They're like at practice or they're at school or something. Cool. Lisa and Rachel walk by with their matching tattoos. They're like, that girl is a dog, basically talking about Lisa. And the
Delta
football
News.
Team captain, Mark, records their scores in the notebook because Eric, played by Zachary Ty Bryan, says that he boned Lisa.
All of these dudes...
disgusting.
I love how they're like, she's a dog.
They're foul. They're disgusting.
Well, you look like
they're elitist.
You look like you haven't evolved yet. Zachary Ty Bryan has that like horrible middle part where the blondes are greased down.
Well, you know, he was still doing Home Improvement.
I can't see him other than Brad.
You're all sweaty. You all look like you're on steroids.
Wasn't
like
it Texas?
Probably do.
You all look like you have acne. Like, let's be honest. You guys are disgusting.
He always looks like he's looking into the sun.
Yeah, he's always got a red face.
Yeah, and it's just, it seemed like Zachary Ty Bryan's character actually did, like, seem to like her. Like, he was kind of happy to see her. He waved at her.
There was some legitimate feelings there.
I think so.
But then when he was like, hey, man, I banged her. And then the bros were all like, pound town, dog.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, you know, come on.
Give me my points.
I just hit it and quit it, bro. You know how that is. Pump and dump.
Ew.
So then later we see Lisa looking like horrified, completely distraught, walking through the school, up to the roof of the school, through a rooftop garden, which looked very lovely.
Lovely.
And then she just...
No school would allow a rooftop. The insurance alone on that would... No. No school would do that.
She just jumps off the building into the car below and dies. The entire school gawks at her, her dead body in the car, which...
They would do that nowadays. Kids would take their phones out immediately.
I would do that nowadays. You fucking kidding me? There's a dead person on the hood of a car.
That's awful.
I'm capturing that.
And Rachel happens to like watch the whole thing. She watched her best friend kill herself.
And then she touched the body a little bit.
I made a Seinfeld reference.
I thought what happened was she was supposed to meet her at lunch.
Yes.
And then she went up and apparently, you know, even though she's her best friend and the best friend earlier was wearing some sort of sleeveless garment where you can see her tattoo, she sees someone that she thinks is her friend, but it's just Becky with the good hair.
Some other bitch.
And then everybody starts screaming. She runs over. Then she recognizes her friend.
Then she touches the dead body.
And she says, I don't cry. I don't cry.
I don't believe in love.
So we first see Rachel's telekinetic abilities because she's upset at her friend dying right in front of her eyes. And we see the lockers inside of the school like fling open.
Dude, she fucking hates lockers.
And Sue Snell comes back. She's now the guidance counselor. Still Amy Irving from the first Carrie movie. And she's the only person from the original movie that we see in this movie.
Yeah, that blacklist.
She does a really good dumb bitch impression.
She is
a dumb bitch. I hate her.
Well, she's not a dumb bitch because she was able to get paid.
She was trying to help.
She's annoying. So she's a school counselor. She's obsessed with the whole Carrie White story.
Well,
it was traumatizing.
Well, then move.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Move.
No, she needs to be there just in case. Sired other little fucking mutant delinquents, and they're gonna show up in my high school.
She's like, so Sue takes Rachel to her office and sits her down, and she's like, "Oh, I want you to relate to me, so I'm just gonna tell you that I spent some time in the same mental institution that your mom is in."
And
shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry, can we also talk about the name of this mental institution?
Spent time with the Joker.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Riddler.
It is a nod to Batman.
It is?
Arkham.
Yes. 100.
Arkham.
And H.P. Lovecraft.
It's the asylum in Batman.
You're telling me.
It's a nod, yes.
That Carrie is in the same universe as Batman.
Okay, apparently.
If you were to go into that movie and ask that bitch, hey, where's Gotham? She'd be like, yeah, it's about 380 miles over there.
I suppose. So Rachel starts to get pissed because Sue Snell's an oversharer. And she breaks Sue's coffee mug. She pushes it off of her desk and it smashes, which kind of reminds me of the ashtray from the original movie.
How does she push it?
I thought it was a snow globe.
That's later.
Oh, God. This bitch just destroys everything.
Did she push it with her hands or did she push it?
She told Sue that she pushed it with her hands, bitch.
Later
in the movie, Sue also visits Rachel's mother, which, again, nosy bitch.
Yeah, it's an oversight.
step. Chloe resides in the mental hospital, and she's trying to convince her mom, like, oh, is she related to Carrie? Yeah, she is, actually. Her dad, their dads are the same dad, Ralph White. Okay, Sue, you're detective. Congratulations.
And I don't understand why we never got a movie about this man and his mutant sperm that makes women ultra-religious and then the offspring telekinetic.
He's like, got that goofy jizz.
We did. It was the blue-collar comedy tour.
Yeah.
Ew.
Wasn't one of those comedians named like Ralph White or something?
Ron White. That's so funny.
So meanwhile, Eric is shitting bricks and talking with the football captain, Mark, afraid that he's going to be blamed for Lisa's suicide because he actually dumped her before she killed herself because he told her that she was just a hookup.
Well, yeah, it was a hit and quit.
It was
a pump and dump.
Shouldn't do that when it's a girl who hasn't lost her virginity yet.
And then Eric...
It was a flirt and squirt.
Ew. That's disgusting.
So then Eric tells Mark, like, hey, she took a picture of me and her, and it's going to be out there. So Mark tells Eric that he will deal with it. While working at the photo shop, Rachel is developing the pictures, and she sees the picture of Lisa and Eric and puts two and two together. Mark and Jesse Ryan, the stud, they arrive, Mark tries to bribe Rachel with money and then with sex to take the picture, and she says no. Rachel gives the photo to the police, and Sue Snell again is involved, and they interview her in Sue's office. She tells them everything that she knows about what Lisa said to her the day before, and then the pictures. Kelton, the policeman, looks into charging Eric with statutory rape since Sue Snell stuck her nose into it, and Eric is 18 and Lisa is 16.
Well,
but in Delaware, that wouldn't be statutory rape because she would have consented.
It's technically now, and they talk about it on SVU a lot, there's something called the Romeo and Juliet law, where as long as you're within a certain number of years of each other, it's technically not statutory rape at that point.
Well, they really don't handle this too much in Gotham, so...
No.
They don't.
Yeah, usually everyone's of age there.
Yeah, definitely. And fully with their mental capacities, too.
Because their frontal lobes are all developed and everything.
honestly, I understand, but here's the thing. You can't prove that they had sex, so all he has to do is say, no, I mean, we made out, and then I was like, I'm not interested, and I dumped her. Like,
no, they got the burn book. They got the burn book.
All he has to do is say, like, oh, I lied. I just said I had sex with her to get the points. They have his word against a dead girl. Like, I don't know why he's freaking out.
There's no test kit for
this? That's fair.
You're telling me there's no way?
No, there's no way. A girl,
tell a dead woman's been raped?
A girl's hymen can tear from...
From a tampon.
Tampon, from horseback riding. Like, there's... Just because, virginity's a social construct, but...
Oh, never mind.
Like, all he had to do was say, like, oh, man, I said I banged her, but... just to get points, you know?
This woman has had sex within 24 hours, so...
Come on, we've watched enough Home Improvement.
How many SVU episodes have you seen?
That Brad is not the smart one in the family.
He's not.
This is true.
He copped to it.
No, they found his weed.
They were like, hey, man, did you have sex with this girl? And he just went,
Oh, man.
So Eric asks his buddies on the football team to go over to, and Mark, it's Mark's idea, really. They go over to Rachel's house and they tease her and they bang on her windows. They throw a brick through her window and
they're fucking terrorists.
Try to scare her.
Yeah, it's awful.
Eric's daddy also gets involved because he's an attorney and he knows... I guess it's the mayor
Somebody like, votes count, right?
Yeah, so basically in front of Sue Snell and the policeman, the detective who's on the case, it basically comes down to votes and it comes down to, you know, there's scouts here. You're going to ruin this young man's life or what?
Over hearsay?
Over hearsay?
Welcome to every SVU episode that takes place at Hudson University. We're not going to ruin this man's future because of a case of he said, she said.
I hate that.
I hate it.
I hate that they said coyote dick instead of coyote uglies. Fucking idiots.
They did. And I said that. I was like, they were explaining it. I was like, yeah, it's called coyote ugly. Because you chew your arm off, not your dick off. What are you talking about, you idiots?
Like, how are you chewing your own dick off, man?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Usually you have to remove some ribs for that. Marilyn Manson.
That's one of my favorite things that wasn't true.
Oh, does he have a music in it?
No, he is posted in her bedroom on a poster or and in her locker.
Marilyn Manson had breast implants and ribs removed, man. I learned that on the back of the bus.
Thank you.
Nice.
That's where we're going to have all the Marilyn Manson books.
That's where we're going to have the Marilyn Manson themed books, the back of the bus.
So Rachel's little hound dog.
Oh, this part's awful.
Jesse is driving home from getting his dick wet with Miss Tracy Campbell. And Rachel stops him with her powers. Or no, her dog gets hit by a truck.
It's really aggressive and we don't need to see it. And they show that dog like literally tumble underneath the wheels.
That's terrible. So this dog is an old dog. This dog has seen cars. I think that dog tried to kill himself. He ran directly into that truck's tire.
Maybe it's blind. Who knows? That would be a thing.
You can't hear the fucking road.
To be fair, they don't have good hearing, even though they have huge ears. They have very bad hearing.
Yeah, they have good noses. That's what those.
They have good noses, but the ears, because they're so long and like the ears close up.
What's the dog's name? Darwin.
Walter.
Oh. To be fair, I would rather watch that kid get hit by a truck in Pet Cemetery than watch a dog get hit.
It was awful.
It was so sad.
Oh, it was a little too graphic. Yeah, it was like...
How much do you think that dog weighs? Like 60 pounds?
Yeah, probably like 50, 50, 60.
She picks it up and she's running down the street with it, trying to get people to stop their cars.
Damn, she's got superpowers.
Yeah.
And that's when Jesse is coming down the road and he doesn't even look like he's going to stop until she like breaks his windshield with her powers.
And he's like, don't worry, it wasn't you.
What'd you say? Did he call Safe Light? Yeah. Safe Light Repair?
Because he got it fixed pretty quick.
He sure did.
There's no fixing that, dude. They replaced it.
Yeah, they did.
Do you think Safe Light was out there replacing it while they were sitting there waiting for that vet to come and be like, he's okay?
No, he drops her off in the broken shit.
I'd love to see that emergency vet bill.
So Jesse drives them to the emergency vet clinic where you can see the little doggy in the window.
The operating room is like behind a window and you can see the dog getting worked on.
It's crazy.
Poor little baby.
The vet comes out and goes, we're going to let you come back and see him. I was like, you've been seeing him the whole fucking time through the window.
So we find out Walter is going to be just fine. Jesse takes Rachel over to the local diner and Jesse realizes he's trading in his cheerleader girlfriend for a goth girl.
Why don't they have any good music here?
That's like usually garbage.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Look at the little jukebox in the table.
You like garbage? That's never talked about again.
He's like, you like garbage? He's like, yeah, I'm sitting here with you, aren't I?
So the next day, Sue calls Rachel into her office again. She can't just go to school and talk about books and
you
shit.
You really hate Sue.
She's like, I know that you have telekinesis. I know what you did last summer. You are the daughter of Ralph White and your sister's cousin's stepbrother is related to Carrie White. She destroyed this school 20 years ago and I'm going to take you there and I'm going to drum up all these bad feelings so that you just snap.
It's fucking Sue Snell's fault. It's kind of Sue Snell's fault now that you broke it down for me. I'm also going to trigger the audience in this movie by showing clips of the movie that was actually good.
Yeah, Sue shouldn't have taken her there. She didn't get her mom's permission slip signed. So, like...
It's inappropriate.
It's so inappropriate. Jesse continues to pursue Rachel, angering Tracy. So, Tracy retaliates and bands with the other cheer girls and the football players. And they're going to now, like, sabotage their relationship. So, Mark offers his family's cabin to Jesse so that Jesse can take Rachel there. Isn't that nice?
I like how that's a
sure.
I like how they said that's a cabin. And that's like a little McMansion.
It is. Like, it's like a giant lake house.
From the fucking 80s.
Mark and girlfriend Monica, played by Rachel Blanchard, plot to humiliate Rachel for what she did to Eric.
She didn't do anything to Eric.
She turned in the pictures. They're ruining his future in football.
So they're taking matters into their own
hands. His team looks
like
they suck anyway.
I'm sure the police, they literally were like, yeah, we're the police. And she's dead. And if it has anything to to do with her murder. I mean, you should have
suicide.
Been like, you should have been like, come back with a warrant, but still, you know.
So Jesse and Rachel spend a beautiful evening together. She's wearing this silky little pale blue number.
Yeah.
And the two share romantic sexual
wild garbage
relations.
Place.
Who fucks with
in
the windows
front
open?
Of a fire?
What did I text you?
While
are
she
you opening
sleeps,
your curtains while you're getting
Jesse
round?
Jesse whispers that he loves her.
I said there's a slow-mo sex scene involving pleated khakis.
Unknown to both of them.
Unsexy.
They were being videotaped the
That's
entire
not true.
Time.
But also, I've seen love? They barely know each other.
They love each other.
They are 17.
They are.
They have spoken once, basically, and that was after he almost
young.
Ran her over and her fucking dead dog. Like, you love her?
He
Nothing
loves
horns
her.
Horns you up like dead dogs.
Hey, and
like,
also,
pussy
also,
tight like a drum, it must be. My God.
Nothing brings two people together like garbage.
They weren't listening to garbage. That would have made this movie better.
No, they were listening to Hole.
That's what I said. I think you said Hole. Sorry.
Despite
garbage was great.
Being grounded for sneaking out and making sweet, sweet love for the first time.
He was like, "You smell
different."
To her
high school boyfriend.
Why do they care? Why do they care where she goes?
A happy and confident Rachel sneaks out again and goes to the school championship football game.
Did she bring her
to
scarlet
watch Jesse
letter with
play.
Her.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because yo, that fucking Allie was right. That team did suck.
First of all, they sucked.
They like
They're
down,
called the Dogs. D-A-W.
They were down by Al. They were down by like dirty dog. 9 or something at one point.
And then she runs onto the field.
I'm supposed to be here.
And whatever his name is, Jason London, makes the catch. But he doesn't see her until after he made the catch. So there really was no point for her running on the field. It's not like he saw her beforehand and was like, I'm going to win
exactly.
for her.
They needed to exchange glances before the play.
Maybe she used
or
her...
Or else this makes no fucking sense.
Maybe she used her psychic ability to help him catch the football.
Oh, like when Hermione cast a spell in Harry Potter so that Ron would catch the snitch.
Or like in...
Or the... Yeah. It was just a lot.
Jesse scores the winning game point. The crowd goes wild. There's scouts galore swarming
so
to Jesse's side.
Tons of scouts.
There was one.
I mean, he was a football player in Dazed and Confused, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Randall Pink Floyd.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mark.
He threw
Monica.
The ball in that movie.
Mark and Monica tell Rachel that Jesse is talking to scouts and that she
Isn't that a great,
should
Isn't
come
that great?
To the victory party with them instead
I
of waiting for
I love a
him.
Victory party. That's where winners go.
But Jesse is actually sidetracked by Tracy, who attempts to seduce him her house.
Well, his car
in
got,
order to keep him away from Mark's party.
His car got trashed.
She spray painted his car.
They made it look like the rival team, the Devils, did it.
Yes.
Like that.
But it was really her.
Because she's an evil whore.
Also, when they're driving to this party...
The cabriolet.
That Rachel Blanchard changes her top and changes literally into like a librarian uniform.
Yeah, with her
then
glasses.
Then the friend in the passenger seat is driving for her and she's like being super bitchy to her. She's like, mascara. And then she puts it on one eye.
I know.
She only puts it on one eye.
That's just the take you see.
And then they're like, you look beautiful too. You need more lipstick. And I'm like, this bitch. And also,
she really is.
I'm sorry. Why is this one popular? She looks like a mousy.
Yeah, they didn't make her look
like
a popular girl for sure. I can see Tracy for
Tracy
sure.
Tracy for sure. Tracy's
popular.
Hot. Tracy has gorgeous eyes. She's got that fuck ass bob, big old titties.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I get. Rachel Blanchard is a gorgeous person. Like, she played Cher in the Clueless TV show.
Yeah.
They make her look like fucking Famke Janssen in The Faculty before she gets hot. Like the dowdiest person I've ever seen. And then her friend looks like a home ec teacher. Like,
her
I'm
friend
like, what?
Is the home ec teacher.
What is this?
Didn't you notice how the faculty gets so involved with the
and
this,
I mean,
in this movie?
The thinnest eyebrows.
Couldn't you say the same thing for, like, in 10 Things I Hate About You? Her sister.
No.
The frumpy one.
She's cute. And, like, I'll...
She's kind
of... Oh, you mean Julia Stiles?
Yeah,
mean...
Julia Stiles' little sister.
Oh, yeah.
She's kind of...
No, Alex Alanik was...
Yeah, that's her name. Thank
cute.
You.
She's cute, and she's also, like...
Storky.
Virginal, and, like...
Yeah,
that I see. This I don't see.
Well,
no.
I get that, too.
Also, everyone in this movie is 27 years old, by the way.
They're in it.
I thought Mark was 37.
These are pretty 27.
I'll comment on that later.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So Rachel's trying to like mesh with everybody. You know, I'm Rachel and I'm dating Jesse and I'm here to party.
I have a red dress on.
So much fun. People are dancing with me.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
And then this video, they're at this wicked awesome house.
Yeah, the lake house. Yeah.
This party.
The lake house?
Wait, is this the same house?
Yes. No,
It's Mark's parents' house.
Oh, it is Mark's parents' house.
Mark gave them.
Oh, is it the same house?
It's a different house.
I think it's a different house.
How many houses does this fucking guy have?
Apparently a lot. So money. They're loaded.
It's a bunch of high schoolers having a college party.
This is a nice house. Pretty nice.
So many red Solo cups.
So Mark puts a video on the big projector in his parents' house, and it is Rachel and Jesse making love in the nicest way a virgin could make love.
I like how this house has that butt as a button where like projector mirrors turn, so it's like on everything.
And everybody's laughing.
Everyone's laughing. Everyone's making fun of her. They again use the. We're all gonna laugh at you.
Yeah, from the mom from the first one.
They use the D word, and then the other one calls her a skank. It's like, okay, so is she gay or is she a slut?
Yeah.
Because, like, let's pick a lane here.
And these jock idiots are pretending to be drunk. I don't understand what they're saying. All of them are fucking terrible. They're bad people. They're bad actors. All of it sucks. And it's going around a fucking circle around her. And I don't know what they're saying. I don't know what the big fucking deal is because I don't know what they're saying.
They're singing, let's make love.
But then they also show her the book with all the numbers in it.
And then she got a good job of explaining what the fucking book is.
She got like negative number, didn't she?
No, she won Jesse the game because apparently they gave him 30 points for the conversion
because she was a
She said she was a
a
cootie queen
for a lesbian,
a lint licker.
So with the book and with the video, Rachel loses it
just a bit.
She goes into a rage.
What? Title of the movie.
And it triggers her telekinesis and the climactic bloodbath begins.
I was very triggered.
This violence is great.
This was so fucking stupid.
This is what I came here for.
Where she gets like
the tattoo.
The tattoo rose. The rose. The thorns.
It's bizarre.
Which is straight out of a Naruto episode.
Because it like vines up her whole body, basically.
And her face, too. It goes all over her face. Venom?
She's also wearing like super high platforms. Good for her for being able to do all this whilst in those shoes.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And she's
looking around.
It's hard work.
She closes and locks all of the doors. She pulls down the curtains.
Yes, it's...
She kills most of the party goers.
Now she cares about curtains.
With, like, shattering the glass from the windows, as well as, like, throwing CDs.
The CDs are great. I love this death.
I like the sounds they made. You can hear them slice throats.
She kills the home ec teacher friend with those CDs. Amazing.
She knocks over the liquor bottles, and then a fire begins. There are logs in the fireplace. What a high schooler is going to light a fucking fire?
It's probably a gas fireplace.
But
so many screams.
Yeah, she like breaks the liquor bottles and the house goes up in flames.
A fire hose comes out of nowhere, starts shooting people.
No, that's the first one, babe.
A basketball hoop falls down on someone.
That's the first one.
It's a bunch of flies.
And you don't get any like weird like John Travolta blowies in this either.
Oh my God!
No John Travolta blowies.
Oh man. Oh, I won't be there. No wait, that's what's happening with with what's his name from American Pie. He's on the car. Oh my God, I'm getting blown.
Yeah,
out.
He couldn't get into the party. Oh, I
couldn't get into this party.
They should have made a third one and he could have been in it.
That's true.
So wait, you're saying Carrie had another sister?
Well, it sounds like the dad was just spreading his seed.
You know what? We should write another screenplay and send it to Stephen King.
I bet he'd like it.
Yeah, we'll
be
hard. I bet he would. This guy is 98 years old, still slinging his mutant cum all over the place.
He wrote a little...
He drives a little porn bus.
Well, Flanagan's doing a Carrie miniseries.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm, for Amazon.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm a little bit excited about.
So Sue Snell, again, has inserted herself by bringing Rachel's mom to the house.
Bitch gets what she deserves.
From the hospital. Words.
And then she gets
inserted. How the fuck does she know where she is?
She's the force.
This is one of those movies where, like, adults randomly knew where all the high school kids were partying at. Like, it happens, and, like, no one does anything. It happens in the first Scream. Everyone's like, party at Stu's house. And it's like, there's a killer on the loose, and you're having this party with all this underage drinking, but nobody does anything about it.
I mean, kids are going to be kids, so.
Yeah, and die.
So they Sue reaches for the door just as Rachel throws a fire poker at a boy's head, killing him. It goes through the door and also impales Sue in her bitch face.
Oh my god!
On the other side.
I love this.
Dead.
Tammy, I'm sorry. Who wrote these? Did Steven Spielberg write these notes for you?
Stop.
Is that why there is such vitriol for Amy Irving?
Amy Irving. That's his first
call
wife.
Call her a bitch the whole time.
Amy Irving.
You love how she just got stabbed in the head? Seriously, did Steven Spielberg write these for you?
Stop it.
No, I did it. So then the football team, Monica, they all run upstairs. They get harpoon guns.
Yeah, why do they have harpoon guns? Why don't they have regular guns?
Because Mark's they dad are big is pussies an avid fisherman.
I guess he's a scuba diver?
I guess he likes to spearfish.
He has a whole bunch of, he's a cabinet of spear fishing guns and
a flare gun.
He has this huge house. He probably has a boat, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's inferencing, Matt. Oh, or Guido. You. Inference.
I'm inferring.
Yes. Right. So if he has this gear, then he must be a fisherman.
Our son was educating us on what inferencing was today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. I mean, that does make sense.
So they take their newfound weapons into the backyard where there's a huge swimming pool.
And they also all know how to use them.
Yes.
I mean, you just pull a trigger.
Rachel.
Look,
they're
just
all loaded.
I feel
luckily.
Like we've been spending 45 minutes to an hour to talking about how fucking stupid these people are.
They are stupid.
So.
You're right. It's amazing they got this far.
Yeah.
Speaking of stupid, Rachel shatters Monica's glasses.
Amazing.
Into her eyeballs, blinding
so cool.
her.
Awesome. Awesome.
Just like that.
Dead.
Not so pretty now, are you?
Then she accidentally shoots Eric in the dick.
This is awesome.
With the harpoon gun.
And the harpoon flies his dick into the pool.
Yeah, yes. It rips his dick off and throws it into the pool.
I'm really
so cool.
I'm really surprised.
There's a dick in the pool. It's just severed penis, cock, and balls in the fucking pool.
Since this is a 90s film, I'm surprised that wasn't a 3D shot. Like, right.
Oh, like in Piranha 3D? Because that happens in Piranha 3D.
Did it make a wiener noise when the wiener shot?
Oh, like...
No. I don't know can what wieners you guys are talking to.
He's coming back to set on fucking Home Improvement, and they're like, yeah, I just did a movie over the summer. I'm like, yeah, the one where you got your dick shot off.
Was Home Improvement
awesome,
still
Brad.
On at this point?
No, probably not.
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
That's the sound the dick made when it flew off. Wiener noise, too.
Rachel disarms Mark with her powers just when she hears her mother calling for her. She's distracted for a second. Mark shoots Rachel in the stomach with the flare gun, and Rachel falls into the pool, and she uses her powers to extend the pool cover as Mark is also in the pool. Rachel gets out of the pool because she takes like a harpoon gun and she puts a hole in the cover.
She escapes the pool.
Mark is not smart enough to figure out his own family's pool and the shallow end, and he drowns.
He does.
Drowns like a bitch.
In the family pool. Goodbye, Mark.
I hate seeing people drown. It's
why couldn't
horrifying.
He figure out where the shallow end is, though?
I don't know why he just couldn't go through the hole that Rachel made.
He puts his head up and is making space where there's oxygen for him to breathe.
Yeah, you can breathe in those bubbles. Yeah, well, he's dumb.
He's stupid. He's dead now.
And I mean, too dumb to live.
Bye-bye, Bobo.
It was probably different because there was a lot of blood in there. So it was really hard to see.
No, you're being too nice.
So Rachel gets out. She's like, Mommy. And the mommy's like, you're a demon. Goodbye.
Yeah. just gives up on her.
Yeah.
Like, girl, bye.
Rachel prays for help. Oh, Jesse and Tracy arrive and find the house in flames and all their friends are dead. When Rachel walks in and sees Tracy, she kills her by collapsing the ceiling on her. Jesse urges Rachel to leave, and the tape of them is still playing in the background. This must have been the longest sex of any high schoolers.
It's on a loop, Tammy.
Combined.
Still.
It's on a 48-second loop.
When he sees it...
I love you.
Yeah.
I love you.
So he sees it, and he's like, I didn't know we were being taped. And Rachel calls him a liar, and she...
She flings the book at him.
Flings the book at him, and he sees it, and then he goes, I love you. And she doesn't believe him, but then... She sees and hears him say it on the video, and she's like,
again,
oh, I love you.
You do love me.
What?
Then the burning ceiling collapses over Jesse's head. Rachel pushes him out of the way, and she is then pinned under a flaming board.
She launches his ass.
Yeah, with her psychic ability.
Yeah.
Not like she tackles
him. She flings him.
Rachel, or Jesse, tries to lift the heavy plank off of Rachel, and she tells him she loves him, and they share a beautiful goodbye kiss, and his right arm lights on fire
from
the burning plank, and then she launches him into the pool.
And then she gives him a blowy with her psychic abilities.
What?
Rachel is dead.
Or is she?
Yeah, is the movie over yet?
Yeah, did she inhabit a fucking fork?
No, but that would be an interesting
plot. My God, that'd be amazing.
Twist. 1 year later, Jesse is at King's University sharing his room with Rachel's dog, Walter.
That dog is still alive.
I know.
He has a dream that Rachel enters his room wearing the same dress that she was wearing the night that they made love.
I hate when you use that term.
Yeah, can you say make whoopee, please?
They kiss, and the mirror shatters, and he wakes up.
No, she shatters.
Oh, she shatters.
Oh, yeah,
my
she
bad.
Shatters.
Because again, they're like, hey. Man. They're like, hey, remember that last minute scare scene that you had in the first one? Let's try and do that again.
But yeah. Really badly.
And then Jesse wakes up, and he looks at his mirror, and there's a fucking picture of her on the mirror. I'm like, no way.
Where
no
did this picture come way. From?
What else are you going to beat to?
And like, then
there's a jar of
he's only got butter. One chick in his spank bank.
And then that's the end.
He also only has one good arm now. Got to switch over the left.
Oh, yeah, he's got an injury. He's got a burn injury.
It's a good thing he's not a quarterback in this movie.
And that's the end. Some fun fact. Several character names were inspired by the show Friends.
Oh.
This is not fun fact.
Rachel is Rachel Green.
Way to go. You just figured out a way to make me hate
this. I knew you were going to
pivot.
Chandler Bing and Mark Bing.
Oh, I didn't realize his last name was Bing.
Is someone named Gunther in this movie?
Monica Geller and Monica Jones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A few weeks into production, the director, Robert Mandel, he left.
Thank God.
And
he knew what was up.
Kat, whoever the director is, had to do it by herself.
They got a cat to do this?
That makes sense.
The name of the director is Kat. And it was supposed to be filmed in 96, and it was a movie that just would not start production.
They should have taken
like
the
forever.
Always a bad indication.
And then this film Rage was also the title of the first novel that Stephen King published under the pseudonym Richard Bachman. That novel climaxed with a school shooting, and after a string of real shootings, King decided not to allow the book
Interesting enough,
this sequel was released only one month before the Columbine shooting. And then to piggyback off of that, this film went to theaters only 3 weeks before the Columbine shooting, and they pulled it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because it was in poor taste.
Why?
You
used harpoon guns.
It was released.
Is it all because of also the Marilyn Manson affection?
I don't know.
And
it's because of that bitch Sue Snell.
Yeah, she probably did it.
And then most of the actors were in their 20s playing high school students. Zachary Ty Bryan, Eddie K. Thomas, and Mina Suvari are all teenagers when this film was made. And this made only $17 million. It only made $17 million, and it cost $21 million to make.
Oof.
It did not do well. Because it got pulled. I mean, it didn't get the chance.
Yes, it really was Columbine's fault.
It's Sue Snell.
Well, you know,
Columbine's fault.
I've said before.
Yeah, they also pulled Geely after like 3 weeks.
I've said before, you know, Dark Knight Rises would have had a much better theatrical run had the Aurora shooting.
Yes, I'm sure.
So
yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I had a really good time talking about this movie.
Oh, I had a great time. It's not going to have that effect, though.
It was fun.
We're not love potion number 9-ing this shit.
Good luck, Tammy.
So let's go around the room.
Nice try.
Think about your feelings, the laughs we've shared.
No.
I applaud you trying to.
Good effort.
Let's go around the room.
Okay.
Guido.
Fail.
You're a bitch.
Fail.
You're a bitch.
There we go. Full circle. No, this movie was not good. It was not good. It was devoid of redeeming qualities.
All that action at the end, though? There's a cabriolet in it.
It doesn't redeem the rest of it, okay? It does have an awesome 3.5 minutes of gory horror violence. Mm. I really enjoyed that. It was nice.
Did you
that
like
was
how...
nice. But it wasn't like... It was nice because I like to watch these people die on screen. It had nothing to do with the fucking story. You know what I mean? I just watched these people for 1 hour 20. I want them to fucking die.
Wasn't the editing just great, though, when, like, she went into those telekinetic moments? It went to black and white.
Fabulous.
The black and white cuts.
Fabulous.
Black and white cuts were so good. All right, Matt, what do you think?
Fuck no. Fail. I mean, it's not the worst Stephen King sequel I've ever seen that Stephen King didn't write, but it's definitely tied for that.
What's the worst one?
Pet Sematary 2.
Oh.
Or Sometimes They Come Back Again.
You hate Pet Sematary. You hate that kid. You hate the kid, the John Connor kid.
I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I was like, was I really that bored as a kid where I would watch this movie whenever it was on TNT?
Yeah.
I obviously was, because it's not good. It is not good.
No.
I mean, especially because I don't know, maybe it's because I didn't see the original before I saw this one.
Oh, maybe.
But then I've seen the original since, and I'm just like, yeah, no. That was one of those movies you didn't need a sequel, you don't need a remake. Guess what? They did it again. They're doing it again. But no, fail.
Got it.
It sounds like he's in a rage.
I mean, it was, unlike the band, it was hot garbage.
Oh.
Mm. All right, Allie?
Yeah, I'm going to have to fail this, too.
Didn't you like all the actors?
I loved the deaths. The CD scene was awesome. I just find it to be super gross. Like, all, like, the sexual...
The torture
and, like, the...
Making fun.
Making fun. Yeah, and, like, everyone being called names and, like... getting the points for like bang
book.
I know it's the times, whatever, but I hate it. It's so stupid and it's gross and these men are disgusting and it's just not
good.
Yeah,
I love how only the men are disgusting in this movie.
Oh no, the girls are too. They're horrible as well.
Yeah, but not as bad.
And it's just like, I don't know. I'll say this. I don't think she's bad at it. I actually think she's kind of good in it. It takes too long to get to the stuff. I know it's the same in Carrie, like you have to wait till the end of the prom, but there is other stuff that happens, I feel like, in Carrie.
Yeah, this was the love story was just,
yes, no, don't need
long, it was a long interruption into the story.
It's also just, again, you love each other,
and what kind of an ending is that?
It's been a week. It's literally been 5 days since that girl like face planted on the car, and you love each other. Like, what is going on?
Have you ever been 17 before?
Yeah, I have, and I didn't love anybody. Joshua Jackson, but that's it. Fail. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, 1 for 4.
You are gonna pass it.
Oh, yeah. We were all banking on
you
maybe another
it?
Amityville. We were like, there's
I
no
wasn't
way.
Sure.
Yeah, I had a really good time talking about it.
Oh, good.
We enjoyed talking about it.
I enjoyed talking about it, but so I don't ever want to watch it.
Don't get it twisted.
I don't.
This was enjoyable.
This was enjoyable.
The movie was not.
No.
I swear to God, though, if they do make like a Carrie 3 and you want to talk about it, I will throw something at you.
Oh, goodness.
It better be light.
I'm telling you, we could make a lot of money on that screenplay.
Maybe Let's we could make it like a smut book.
They're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah, man.
We'll call it Spoons 2.
Someone has an
Spoons
embarrassment
two.
Kink.
All right.
Spoons 2.
Well, thank you all for humoring me in our sequels month. Guido, you're up. Quid pro quo.
Yes. So, for your viewing pleasure, I've chosen Tremors 2 Aftershocks. It came out in 96. It was directed by S.S. Wilson, and you can find it on nothing for free.
No. Nope.
So, Amazon Prime that shit.
You have to pay for it.
You know, it will be available for free at some point.
Yes.
Because it was, but it isn't right now.
We're rounding out our Quad Pro Quo Sequels Month with Tremors 2 Aftershocks. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month via our website or social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.